Welcome to your home for all the nerd news you need to know. Welcome to AU Radio. This week, we have a short but very special episode for you planned, and a big apology to all of our listeners for last week's episode. We kind of let July 4 sneak up on us, and we apologize for not recording for you guys. But here, back, ready to go. Joining me today, George, over in the comics corner.
Well, hello, everyone. Sorry for missing last week.
Filling in for Sam at the controls, we have Travis. Hi, Travis.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Donnie is here in spirit, but not in person, and we miss you, Donnie. I am not Donnie, but sometimes I play him on the radio. I'm Hannah, and our very, very special guest this week is Javon Jordan, the creator of The Sav, the comic. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So those of you listening at home who maybe don't know much about this comic, it is one of my favorites. I know George really loves it too. I highly recommend it. But hey, why don't you tell us a little bit about The Sav for our listeners?
So The Sav is a Native American spirit warrior. It's my story's loosely based on the Marias Massacre, where the United States sent army soldiers over to pretty much kill the entire peaceful tribe of indigenous people. And, you know, I kind of wanted to bring that back into the conversation and kind of not necessarily, you know, put it in the forefront, but, you know, keep the conversation going, you know, that stuff really did happen. And as you know, as, you know, partial Native American, I wanted a hero that I could look up to and, you know, be happy to represent, because a lot of the Native American superheroes have been stereotyped and just corny as heck, you know what I mean?
It's fair. That's super fair. So real life, kind of loosely inspired, but also pulling on some of that lore legends.
Yeah. I wanted to, you know, like incorporate some folklore and, you know, just different things that go on and, you know, on the res, especially during that time, you know?
So outside of the real life influence, which is very obviously very real and palpable, within the comic book world, what are your main influences that kind of help bring your style to the table?
As far as influence, definitely Mike Mignola with Hellboy, Todd McFarlane with Spawn, Eric Powell in The Goon. You know, I grab a little bit of influences from everywhere. You know, Rob Liefeld, you know, he was a super big influence on me as a kid with like Young Bloods and Strike Force and stuff like that. Eric Larson with Savage Dragon, you know, my ties with the comic world run deep.
Eric Larson is one of the nicest creators that I think I've ever had the privilege of talking to. That guy is just so sweet.
Dude, I wanna have him do a cover for me.
That would be awesome. He would do a great Sav cover.
I mean, honestly, like, having read the Sav, the issues that have come out so far, if you like those comic artists, like, the Sav is right up your alley. It's beautifully illustrated, but also just nice and violent. It's got that, like, blood for effect, so.
I want to take a quick moment here to be a fanboy about the comic, because it is incredible to me that there has been so much development from the first issue to what we've seen previews of in the third. And I don't mean to be disparaging at all, but the first issue of The Sav does have a little bit more of a little bit of a raw kind of a feel to it. Like, you can tell that it's a little bit of an earlier foray into the comic book world than God, Jesus, the second comic, and now what looks like third is...
I'm with you. I definitely did not know what I was doing in the beginning. You know what I mean?
It still plays out the way you want it to, I feel. Like, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but like the first issue does still have a real gritty kind of a feel to it that really lands. And then you get into the next couple of them and God, like what we're looking at for number three. And it just looks like you've developed from an early creator until somebody that's done like three or four series under their belt, let alone just a few issues.
Thing with me is like, I'm like, even with my music, I like go back and I'll listen to my albums and I'll be like, okay, this is where I was slacking and this is what I need to fix on, you know what I mean? So like, you know, I can't tell you how many times I reread issue one, you know, and picked it apart, you know, like a vulture. I'm just picking anything I do and I drop, I pick it apart till there's nothing left, you know what I mean? So I know where my flaws are, I know where I excelled at, and I know you know, I know what to do next.
It definitely shows. I love the first issue of the Sav, but it does, you can see the growth just from issue to issue. Like, I can't even imagine how just phenomenal this comic is going to look at by like issue 5.
No pressure.
Speaking of, go ahead, Travis, sorry.
I just said no pressure, you know.
Yeah, you're right. I wanted to ask, do you want to talk about the artists that you had on the comic so far?
Yeah. Like for cover art or for just interior or everything?
I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, everything as far as the, maybe start with the interior artist since they're kind of the other main collaborator with you.
Okay. So the interior artist is Rafael Flores. He's my homeboy from Mexico City. You know what I'm saying? Holding it down. You know, he does a lot of the covers for me too. He's done like the, pretty much all the main covers, I think. And, you know, he's as hungry for this win with the Sav as I am. So that's how, you know, we're a great team and a great combo. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to bring him up from Mexico City and see, you know, try to get him out here for a while, but, you know, see what we can come up with, you know, when it's one-on-one. But right now I feel like we're on a rampage and just taking over.
You tie in a cultural background with your artist as well, right? Like you try and get somebody that's from a country that ties into
with like the one shots. I definitely try to reach out to like, you know, like with like the Sav versus 16, it was based in Africa. So I hired an African artist, you know, and, you know, and like I got like stories coming out with like the Sav in Japan. So I'm going to have a Japanese anime artist on it. And then I got like,
that's gonna be awesome.
You know, I got this one with the Sav versus the Cartel, which will, you know, obviously Rafael will probably do that one. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, it's just I guess the only one I haven't done is this World War II issue because I don't know any Nazis personally.
Or so should you?
Reach out to those. But yeah, you know, I try to, you know, I'm trying to like, I don't want to box myself in. I like to network outside of the country. You know what I'm saying? Because like, yeah, I could absolutely stay in the United States and just be known here. But why, when there's so many dope artists in Mexico and in Brazil and Canada and the Netherlands, you know what I mean? Like it's the comic book world is such a big, diverse world that it's like, it would be stupid of me to not network outside of the country, you know?
In the technological age, like there's no reason that you can't work with people from outside the country. It doesn't take weeks and months to get communications back and forth with the internet. So,
I know, it's instant. And some of these guys that I'm working with are hungrier than people that are in the States, you know what I mean? Because, you know, money goes a long way there, you know what I'm saying? So you know, well, they're just hungry and more out to do it, you know, they're ready.
Well, and to your point, Hannah, absolutely, and totally along your point as well, Jay, the ability to collaborate with people across digital formats is now probably stronger than ever because that's like what everybody is reduced to. So, I mean, you know, whereas it may have become more difficult to collaborate with like national, you know, like domestic, you know, style collaborators, now it's basically just about exactly the same situation with anybody anywhere other than your own personal household.
Yeah.
So I'm sure going forward, it's not that, you know, it's going to be easier than it was before, but at least your creative, you know, process isn't like incredibly diminished because of the COVID stuff.
I wanted to know a little bit about like the creative process from taking this idea that you had of Native American true story that happened, turning it into a folklore legend and then bringing it to a comic. Like, what was that journey like? Because I can't imagine it was easy to get into. Like, you've got so much momentum. Like, once you started going, you never stopped.
So for me, when I write, I can write. I don't want to sound too cocky, but I feel like as far as writing, I got it. You know what I mean? Like, some people have it and some people don't. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I feel like I have it. I know, obviously, I've been writing for years, rap music and poetry and stuff. So I feel like I have it. And so really, realistically, it took me, I think, maybe 2 or 3 days to like complete the script for the Sav issue 1. You know what I mean? And now, right now, I can literally sit down for a day and bust out a script for a whole issue. Because for me, I watch so many movies and TV shows. It's just like, okay, I just run it like it's a TV show or a movie in my head. You know what I mean? Like, this would be cool if this happened. Oh, this would be surprising if this happened. Oh, this would give people a little jump scare. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, just like stuff like that.
Sure. So does your friend, the gentleman who does the artwork in the main comics, did you like, when you wrote the script, did you just have him that he was the one that was going to illustrate that stuff, or have to search or?
For like the script, I don't even write a script. I just write what I want to see in the panels and I send it to him. And then after he gets me the pages, that's when I actually write the script. You know what I mean? Because I, you know, like when,
oh,
when
I love
thinking of these thoughts, I'm just thinking of like the movie aspect. You know what I mean? Like I don't care what they're saying. I just know this is what I want it to look like in the script, in the pages, you know?
That's
and
amazing.
Then so, like later on, after the fact that the page is done, then I go in and I'll be like, okay, this would be cool if he said this right here. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, because I kind of know what they're going to say, obviously, you know, because the whole thing's laid out, you know, but.
Not to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Can I ask, have you ever read the book called Making Comics the Marvel Way?
No, but I know I need to, right? Jim Shooter did that, right?
I think so. That sounds right. But I just, on the basis of the process that you're just describing, I feel like that's what that book describes. I almost feel like it might have been a Stan Lee book, but I could be wrong.
Could have been. I know. I think it was Jim Shooter, but
I
should read it. You guys got any copies there?
Not at the moment, but we could get one in for you.
Yeah, I probably should read that book.
Honestly, it sounds like you haven't nailed down. And honestly, seeing the product that you've put out issue after issue improves in quality so much, like exponentially. So it's incredible. That I just was curious that I was wondering if that happened to be something that you've come across in your own experience.
I haven't. I've heard of it and people have talked about it. Like me, what helps me evolve too is like with issue one, like I said, I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew I wanted to make a comic book. And so then I got like all the, you know, a few people that are like Watchmen fans, which is like one of the most well-written comic book, you know what I'm saying, of all time.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, talking to me about like, oh yeah, I love the sound, but the story, this, you know, the storytelling, you know, always storytelling. So I'm like, okay, well, we got one out of the way, but now we have to actually write a story, you know what I mean? So that's what I've been like really focusing on, is like honing in my storytelling, because like anyone can really make a comic book. You know, if you have a good, decent idea, you know, like there's plenty of comic books out there that are poop, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, but somewhere inside they're not, you know what I mean? Like they might look like poop on the outside. Like what do they say? Don't judge a book by the cover. You know what I'm saying?
But, for sure. You
know, like the artwork might be poopy or the writing might be poopy, but what the writing is, you know, the bad side of the writing, the art might be fantastic and out of this world, you know what I'm saying? So, like, who's to really say what is a good comic book and what's a bad comic book? But all I know is that I needed to focus on my writing aspect and making good stories that can actually, like, last a long time and not just get thrown into the dollar bin after the fact, you know?
For sure.
I'd be remiss as a fellow Hellboy fan not to mention a bit how I feel about what you've got going on with the earlier issues of Hellboy. And it's not a completely similar situation, because Mike Mignola didn't even write the first series of Hellboy.
It was David actually Byrne did, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but Mike
was in the industry. He was in the industry since like 86 or 87. You
know? Oh, for sure. So you're right. It's not like this was his first book or anything. And he's the artist and writer rather than being both. That like, that's like on your front. But like I recommend Hellboy so frequently, saying like, you know, the first series or two, they're good, but they're kind of like they're dry. They're a little drier than it gets. And like, you know, like when you get to Conqueror Worm and when Hellboy leaves the BPRD, it just becomes this whole other crazy dynamic and journey. And
it
I can only see that. Yeah.
That it just becomes a whole new, like a world, you know, he built his world.
Exactly. And I can see the Savs comic book following a similar arc where it starts off and it's solid. It's, you know, definitely early in a particular character's journey, but I can see it growing into astronomical degree. You know, once again, like Travis said, no pressure.
zero pressure, except keep making comics.
I mean, I feel like I can't stop now. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people know what they want, and I feel like more and more people are getting hip to the Sav. So it's just a beautiful thing.
Not necessarily a tangent, something that we definitely wanted to talk about. But do you want to talk about how crazy successful your last Kickstarter was for being?
My gosh.
What one could consider a fairly local but well-known kind of a property.
It was pretty crazy. It was insane. To be honest, I was definitely not expecting anything near what we got.
It kind of got out of control at the end there.
Got kind of out of control, for sure. You know, it was, you know, I was expecting, to be honest, I was expecting that we were pretty confident that we were going to hit $7,000, maybe $8,000, you know what I mean? Like, because each Kickstarter has gone up, like, you know, like $1,000. Well, the first one, I think we ended at like 2,900 or 2,800. Then we did the Kickstarter for the Sav vs. Cysteine, and that hit, I think, 4,000 something. And then issue two, I think, hit 5,200 or 300. And then this last one hit freaking $13,000. You know what I mean? Like, it's insane.
It was awesome to watch. Like, keeping an eye on the Kickstarter the whole time, and I was just like, oh my god, it's just not slowing down.
It was crazy, to say the least. It's just, that's how I know, you know what I mean, like, I need to just keep doing it, you know what I mean? It's just, this is what I need to do.
So I was curious, because I read comics, I don't write comics, but I'm always very interested to hear people who do independent publishing and stuff like that, like, what kind of challenges you faced on the road to publishing. You made this awesome comic, you got an awesome illustrator, you've got the pieces down, and now you have to publish it. So, like, what kind of process is that like for you guys? Did you run into trouble, or did you just, we're gonna kickstart it and go?
So I pay for the comic to be done out of my own money, like, you know, just so I can have it done before I do the Kickstarter, because I don't want to be one of those Kickstarters where it's like, I need this money to make this issue, you know what I mean? Like, I want to make sure the issue is done, and so I can, as soon as the Kickstarter ends, I can start getting the ball rolling and getting the issue into people's hands, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to be there's like Kickstarters, big name artists that have done Kickstarters, I'm not going to name the names, but you can go search it, that have done like hundreds of thousands in Kickstarter and never even sent out the product, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've gotten a rough deal on a couple Kickstarters.
Yeah, so me, I want mine to just always be on point, where it's like, the issue's done, my backers don't have anything to worry about. They just have to, if they support it, and then they're going to get the issue way sooner than anyone else is sending copies. You know what I mean? Like, with my first Kickstarters, I was even buying the copies prior to the Kickstarter ending. You know what I mean? Just so I could send them out and, you know, get my rep up and my rep good. You know what I mean?
Because that's a lot of faith in your fans. That's like a lot of respect to give to the people that you count on, and we, I think, as fans appreciate that.
Oh yeah, my team is it's a blessing to have my team, from the artist I work with to my printer. My printer, he always makes sure I'm first priority anytime I do a Kickstarter. He always makes sure, you know, he clears the schedule, because he knows I'm gonna, you know, drop a lot of work in his lap. So he always, you know, he's super adamant about making sure my quality and everything is on point, you know what I mean? Because he feels he's a part of the whole, you know, legacy, you know? So it's wonderful when you can get every person involved, you know, on the same wavelength as you, you know?
How did you and your artist meet? Like, have you guys just been homies forever, or like?
I seen his art in a Facebook group, and it was just like, because it was like one of his cover arts, so it was just like so realistic, it blew my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, I need to hit him up. I figured, you know, he was probably charging, you know, $500 to $1,000 for a cover. Then I sent him, because he's been with me since issue two on, so I sent him the first issue, and he was like, oh yeah, you know, he wanted to be a part of it, whether it was covers or interior. We worked out a deal, and you know, I told him, if we can keep this going, you know, it's only going to get bigger.
So yeah. Cool.
Real quick, just to throw out there, just on the note of people that have worked on your cups, you managed to snag a couple of really nice cover artists for your variants for the third issue. Do you want to talk about that just a little bit?
Yes, I do. So one of my favorite artists in the entire world is John Boy Myers. People have probably seen his work on Spawn. He did like 250 to 258 or something on the Spawn run. He did the covers and interior.
Amazing artist.
He did Teen Titans. I mean, what hasn't he done is really what I should be saying. He did like the hottest cover of last crazy Venom cover. But yeah, we got him to do a cover, which was mind blowing. Just even, you know, being involved in a process with an artist like that, it's like kicking it with your favorite actor or something. You know, it's like, dang, this is really happening.
We will have to put a picture up of that cover that John Boy did for you, because
he Babe Ruth that thing. Then we got Alan Kwa. He did a variant for Scorpion Comics for issue 3, and Alan, he's done work for everyone, Lucasfilms to Marvel, to DC, to Boom Studios, to everywhere, you know. And then it's crazy because with Alan doing that, it opened up a whole bunch of doors to a whole bunch of new artists that I would have never even expected to be reaching out and hitting me up to try to work. So like I'm not gonna say any names right now, but for issue 4 we got some of the craziest artists. Like I'm still in shock of people. People are like, you know what I mean? Like they hit me with quotes. One of the artists I was gonna do a cover, he hit me with a quote for $5,000 to do a cover. And then he's seen the what I was building and the momentum. And then he's like, oh, you know, I'm gonna give you a deal. I'm gonna do something for you for $1,000. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh my god.
Oh,
you know,
holy crap.
Blew my freaking mind. You know what I'm saying? Because when I announce it, then you'll know. But you know, he's like one of the dopest artists I've ever seen in my entire life. You know what I mean? I got like nothing but love for him. And right now, he's doing some crazy stuff, and I don't want to speak too much on it. I just want to surprise people when I have the cover and just blow people's minds just as much as my mind is blown.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. I can't even wait.
It's gonna when you see what he's gonna do, it's gonna take the Sav into like a whole different realm, into like a whole different reality. It's gonna be like real life Sav.
Well, if your comic book continues to improve in quality, if it gets better and better like it seems to be doing, by the time like the end of this first story arc is done, it's going to be off the charts. And you know, like, you know, for a local comic book that's, you know, funded independently, it's going to be something that we all can be proud of, having come from our own community, if that makes any sense.
I hope so, man. I'm trying to put on for all of us, you know what I'm saying?
I know that all of us, like, at Adventures who are big Sav fans, we're so excited that we got to be part of the, like, issue 1 step in the Sav, because it's just been so fun.
And you know me, I got nothing but love for Ground. I used to, anytime I would come out here on tour, I would always go in there and just get lost in there, and they would have to pull me out, you know what I mean? Like, because it's just so big, and so, like, everything you can dream about in fandom is there, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I would come out here on tour, you know, like, I'd have to be on stage at, like, not at stage, but in the venue at, like, 9 o'clock, and I would seriously probably be in Adventures Underground until like 8:55. Just lost.
It's not like comic book related, but man, you have to let me know when you get those 3D miniatures of the Sav done, because I want one so bad.
Oh yeah, definitely. They're being pressed right now.
I wanna make a quick shout out here, because we've got the illustrious painter of the Sav bust that has been shown on social media, also on the podcast here.
Hey, that's me. I paint things.
Yeah, that bust is like one of the dopest things I've ever had in my life.
It was so much fun to paint.
Dude, it's just so brutal. Like, I'm just like, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to find a case to bring them, because that thing needs to go to every con with me. You know what I mean?
You got to get a case made for him.
I need to. Like, some kind of like a acrylic case or something, because yeah, like that thing is just like just, it just pulls people in. I feel like when I did RadCon, people were just tripping on it. You know what I mean? Like, even like little kids that should be scared of it were like, whoa.
Hey, so we got to get a picture on social media for this, for the AU listeners that are going to tune into this. And we'll make sure we get a picture of the bust. We'll get a picture of the John Boy Myers cover, and maybe another one or two, and all that kind of stuff. So if you're listening right now, check into our social media and you can see some of the stuff that we've been talking about.
And we'll definitely drop the link to the Sav like page and all of that good stuff.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. if people want to support and maybe buy the comics, so Adventures Underground, you know, at some point here in the near future, will be opening back up to some limited degree without any timeline exactly laid in place. But other than picking them up at our store, where can people pick up your comic the easiest?
So yeah, as far as in store, Adventures the Underground is the only store locally you will ever see the salve in. As far as if you want to order online, you can hit my website, illestuminati.com, illestuminati.com, and just hit the merch shop link, and you know, I have all the issues on there, my music, everything.
And you can guarantee as soon as it's safe and possible for us to do so, we will have you in the store for another signing.
As soon as it's safe and possible, I'm gonna be in there buying stuff, man. I'm ready to buy some stuff, man.
I feel like we're all in the same boat. We're all just chomping at the bit. Like, come on, wanna open.
Dude, I've been making like a little list of every little thing I need, and I'm like, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to get back in there.
Let's just hope our counties start having less cases of COVID.
Yeah, please.
This is not a political podcast. This is medical statements being happening right now.
Yes, of course.
I mean, because yeah, we got to get the cases down before we can open stuff back up. But we're heading that way, and I'm very happy about it.
Me too. Zero cases. We need zero cases.
Got any more questions, George or Jade? You got anything else you think people need to know about the salve? Or
all I can say is, if you grew up in the same era as I grew up, you know, like the 90s, the you know, and were raised on the Image comic stuff, the Studios Cup stuff, then definitely you will love the salve. It's like a dream come true to even be able to say I write a comic book, you know.
Before we sign off, I want to make sure we highlight for at least a brief moment the fact that not only are you a great comic book creator, but you're also an incredible rapper, and you have your own entire career that you've gotten spanned. How long have you been doing that? Like, when was your first album put out?
My first real album I put out in 2013.
So a good almost 7 or so years now at this point.
That's,
I mean, probably more even before, you know, you actually put your first album.
I was rapping and stuff since high school, but nothing like serious and nothing like career focused driven, you know. It was just freestyling with the friends at parties, and you know, nothing, you know, I was doing shows and stuff, but I wasn't taking it too serious. I wasn't getting paid for the shows. I would just go travel just to do it, you know. And you know, but you know, I did get a lot of dope opportunities. I got to rock with a lot of rap legends doing it that way. But then, you know, as soon as I was like, okay, well,
Drew of the store and myself went to go see you at the Emerald of Siam at one point. That was a very, very enjoyable show. That was a dope show.
That was fun. I'm glad you guys came out, man.
But no, I just wanted to make sure we didn't totally ignore that aspect of your creative, you know, process in this podcast that we had with you. And we may be getting close to wrapping up here, but I just wanted to make sure we shouted that out.
It's all art, you know. It's all art. It's all it's all just art, bro. It's all just my umbrella, you know.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, if people are not too faint of heart to check out the salve, you know, I would encourage them to check out Illestuminati.
Yeah, for sure. And we will absolutely drop the link on the podcast page to go with this episode. So if you're tuning in at home, check out AU Radio Podcast on Facebook, and we're gonna have links to Illestuminati salve. We'll put pictures up. Like, check this out, guys.
Yeah. Excellent.
And thank you so much, Jay, for coming on, for talking with us. We're so excited that the Kickstarter went well. We're so excited to see the next issue. Love chatting with you. And I think with that, we're going to wrap this episode, call it good, and we'll see you all next week.
I suppose I get to say,
we are out of here.
Nothing can kill the grouse. Nothing can kill the grouse.
You've been listening to AU Radio. Music is provided by CubbyandBenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio Podcast is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.
you'd like to contact the show, follow us on Twitter at @AU_radio, Facebook at AU Radio Podcast, Instagram at AU.radio, or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the shows on AU Radio by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Network. Find us on Patreon as AU Radio at Adventures Underground. You can help us create this podcast and soon several others with as little as a dollar a month. Thanks for listening.